Well, hello, everyone, wherever you're watching from around the world. It is such an honor and a privilege to be here with you today. We are excited. We are back at the Downtown YMCA, kicking off 2022, gathering together as a family, sharing germs, sharing fruit, sharing love, coffee, everything. So we are so thankful for everyone in the house. Maybe you're trying to figure out if you should show up. I promise you, it's definitely worth it. Today, you missed chocolate-dipped strawberries. Like, come on, man. You already broke your New Year's resolution. Don't lie to yourself. It's okay. They're over here. So make sure you get those and make sure that you jump to that, because I'm excited that we're going to be diving into this series called Fruition, where we are going to be walking through the fruit of the Spirit and bearing and being image bearers of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, notice I didn't say fruits. I know in the South we like to add S's to everything, the Walmarts's, the Facebooks's. Back in the day when I worked at Walgreens, it was really easy. But people called me Greenwalls, so go figure. Whatever that was, wherever you are right now, we are excited to be diving into this. And this is the reason we're diving into this as we go forward. February 13th, we're calling it One Word Sunday. That's a really easy Sunday to remember because there's this huge game that happens every year. We're probably going to have some fun with that. Our sowers will make that decision sooner than later, but I know we will. We love to have fun with that. But on that Sunday morning, we're going to bring our one word for 2022 to the altar. We're going to pray over that. We're going to share our one word as a church. And I'll be honest with you, selfishly, I love praying over those one words throughout the year, okay? Now, I won't know the one word. I don't know what your one word is. I just know I get the one word. So in other words, unless you put your name on it, I won't know that it's yours, but I will share with you my one word that Sunday, and this is why. We're going to be walking through the fruit of the Spirit. Maybe your one word is found in the fruit of the Spirit this year. I do want to challenge you, though, on something else when it comes to a word. There is no better word than the word. So maybe your word this year is a Bible verse. Maybe it's one word. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that looks like. But for each and every one of us, I just want to encourage you and challenge you with that. That's why we're walking through this series. So here we go, Fruition. Before we get there in your Bible, I have something that you may or may not have seen at the breakfast table. And you're going to tell me it's early, but I'm going to bust them out. How many of us remember these from back in the day? Now, I couldn't find a box. These are conversation hearts. Does anybody remember these back in the day? Now, I couldn't find a box. Doesn't mean that they don't exist. You're going to say, why in the world are you talking about conversation hearts at Valentine's? Is like a long way away, but it's going to make sense here at the end. So how many remember these, though? You remember having these in school? It was so easy. At your class party, you just wrote somebody's name. They got a box, but that special someone, you opened a box and you gave them a little something, right? And do you remember that? There was some fear in that, and you dropped that there, or you knew that you were going to get rejected. I just threw them out everywhere. It didn't matter. You knew you were going to get rejected, or you knew you were going to be accepted. It was really cool to give it and see your crush's reaction, but it was better to receive it sometimes, wasn't it? Just to see what happened, so you could go, you know, whatever that was. And there were phrases on these things, like, hug me, kiss me, give me a virus, love you. Like, I don't know. There were all kinds of crazy things on these conversation hearts, but they brought us this ooey-gooey feeling, didn't they? Like, there was just something about it that just, it was like a reward, right? Now, as you get older, we don't call these conversation hearts. We call them Tums. So as you get older, that's what that is, to be quite honest with you. So all of your kids got antacids this morning if they had this, so be ready. It's going to be a great rest of the day. But this is where I want us to lean when it comes to this. This is where I'm going with this when it comes to these itty-bitty conversation hearts. Sounds really hedonistic, but I'm going to be real. You chase the thing that pleasures you the most. The thing you delight in the most is the thing you chase. No matter what, you chase it. And I know that sounds very hedonistic, like something you wouldn't say in church, but I will tell you this, in Christ, you are the Lord's delight, and if you delight in the Lord, you will obey his commands and walk in the way he calls you to, therefore, that will bring you the most pleasure. So what if the thing you're searching for is pleasure? What if the thing you're searching for is this little reward system? What if that thing you are looking for is in plain sight? Just like a piece of art. You've looked at it 100 times, but something about the 101st time changes you, and you never see it the same. Sometimes they just flip the thing over. Like, you see those things where they're like painting a face or something, and you're like, what is this person doing? And they flip the picture over, and it's like this crazy cool picture. See, that's that thing that brings you the ultimate pleasure, the ultimate satisfaction, the ultimate joy is found right in the Scripture in Paul's letter to the Galatians. because it's lived out in a particular way of life. Last week we talked about vine, we talked about the name the vine and how we have to be rooted in the Lord, connected to the Lord, how we grow in him, how Jesus says he is the vine and apart from him we can do nothing. We are the branches and the branches are called to do something. They're called to bear fruit. And so that fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. So if you've got your Bible today, each and every week we're going to be going to Galatians 5, 22 and 23 to start off every Sunday. So if you want to go ahead and get to your in your Bible to there. If you don't have a Bible, we have them free for the asking. I say it every week because I mean it. It's incredible. I love that our Vine production team does everything they can to make sure wherever you're watching throughout the week around the world that the scripture is on the screen. But also, you can follow along with us on our Vine Church app. Go to thevine.tv/app. You open that thing up and you'll see on the bottom tab of there, there's this thing called notes. So when you go to thevine.tv/app, it's going to ask you for your phone number. We're not going to spam you or anything. It just sends you the link. And you'll see there's a notes tab at the bottom. And you'll see today's message entitled Love. We'll get there in a second. We're going to get to Galatians first. But it'll show a place where you can take notes, a place where you can share notes. It's going to have all the scripture that's there for you. So if you've got your Bible today, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. If you're with me, give me an amen. I hear amens in the house. Everybody's going to get their antacids right quick because they ate those chocolate strawberries. It's good. We call them conversation art. So here we go. Here we go. What does Paul write to the church in Galatia? Verse 22. But the fruit, once again, no S. I'm sorry. I know in the deep south we do that. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. Now, 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to go through all of these. We're going to start with love. Start with love. Start with love. Love's important. All of us, we just talked about conversation hearts, and you thought about back in the day when you were in elementary school, and I want to tell you, love, what if love is the key that unlocks the rest of the fruit of the Spirit? After you've given your life to Christ, what if love is the first thing you really have to do? Really have to live out to get joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness. What if that's, and that's what I want to lean into today, because actually the answer is, it is it. Love is the key. Love is the starting block to the rest of the fruit of the Spirit. And this is why Paul is writing this letter to the Galatian church. We talked about this a few weeks ago, but the Galatian church is stuck in this thing called Gnosticism. So Gnosticism, it starts with a G, it's one of those spelling bee words, Gnosticism. So what's really Gnosticism is Gnosticism says, I have a special knowledge, and because I have attained that special knowledge, I will achieve salvation. And you can't, you have been apostatized, or you have received that special knowledge, because knowledge is your salvation, nothing else. And that was happening in the Galatian church, so much so, I mean, that doesn't happen today, right? Nobody says that, right? Like, nobody says anything about red pill or blue pill, right? Like, nobody says any of those things in this world we live in, right? What happened in the Galatian church when they said that is they would tell people either you received the knowledge or not. If you didn't, they kicked people out of the church. Now, remember, this is the early church. This is people who've never followed Jesus. They didn't know until Paul goes and evangelizes. They kicked people out of the church. And then once you receive the knowledge, you were put in a caste system about how much knowledge you had determined how blessed you were by God. So Paul is writing to them and say, hey, you're missing the point. It's not about that. It's actually about something greater. And it starts with love. And so he gets there and he starts with love. And that's what we're talking about. Hey, love, love. You've heard this. How many folks have ever been to a wedding or been in a wedding? How many folks have been in like 14 weddings? I'm just kidding. No, don't do that. I've not. Well, I probably have been in a lot, but after my 13th wife, I gave up. So it is what it is. Y'all know better. It's not the truth. It is what Jesus strike me dead right here. All the way through, love. You've heard love. You've heard 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not self-seeking. It keeps no records of wrong. But what I love about Paul's love letter in 1 Corinthians is he ends 1 Corinthians 13 with this. But these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest is what, church? The prophet Alan Jackson said it, love, didn't he? What if Paul said it before Alan Jackson did? I'm just saying it happened. So love, love. As a matter of fact, I got an awesome piece of art from someone who loves me dearly that I get to hang up in my house that has that. I love that scripture. So love, Paul says it multiple times. It starts with love. And so you say, well, you're giving me a lot about Paul, what does this mean, this thing about love? Well, love feeds into everything else in your life. Because if you feel loved by something, you can easily be manipulated by it. We know that. We've all been in that relationship. But once you've experienced the love of Christ, it's not about manipulation. Love actually changes you because you become joyful, you find delight, you become fulfilled. Unlike anything else in this world. That's why your marriage points to Jesus. Your marriage is not Jesus, it points to Him. That's why your relationships do this. So here's the real question before we go on. Could this mean we are wired to love and be loved? Absolutely. As a matter of fact, we'll spend our whole life chasing the love of this world, love of career, love of money, love of car, love of status. We'll do everything we can giving, receiving love to try to find fulfillment, try to find fullness, try to find satisfaction, trying to find joy, and we never will until we experience Jesus. We surrender our life to His Lordship, the person and work of Jesus. We'll never experience what real love is. Real love. And so that's what I want us to talk about today. If you've got your Bible, we're going to be in John, 1 John 4. Believe it or not, I'm in three different scriptures this week. Praise God. Amen. But we're going to be in 1 John 4 for most of our time. But I want to read you the last words of Jesus at the Last Supper before He goes to Gethsemane with the disciples. As a matter of fact, here in John 13, if you want to get there, you can follow along really quick. In John 13, this might be the last words really that the disciples remember Jesus saying. He's about to go to the garden. He's about to pray in John 17 for unity. He's about to be arrested. What ends up happening is they're all there. But remember, they were all asleep while He was praying. Except Judas. He was out. Everyone else was asleep. And He was upset that they were asleep. And He was like, pray with me. So if Jesus said something, and it's the last things He said on the way to the cross before He prayed. Like if I'm at dinner and it's an awesome conversation and Jesus is sitting there and He says something, it's probably pretty important. So this is what He says in John 13, verse 34 and 35. A new command I give you. Now at this time, remember, the Pharisees have over 600 laws they follow, the Ten Commandments. They have all these things. But Jesus says, hey, here's the command I give you. This is how you're going to live. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you, what does that say, church? Must. So you must. Circle, highlight, stamp it, tattoo it, whatever you got to do. So you must. Not it's optional, not I only love you on Sunday mornings, not any of those things, not like I love you on the way into church, but when we get back to the car for lunch, oh, I'm going to unleash wrath. No. You must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you what? Love one another. Love. Love one another. Love. It's a driving force of us. Every movie that you, quote unquote, love has a love story. I'm not talking rom-com, superhero movies, love story. Horror movies, love story. I mean, you say, how can Michael be running around? Hey, come on. I don't know how he always shows up in the same, like, move, y'all. Like, I don't get it. But anyway, love. Love. It's a driving force. It is the thing we're searching for. And Jesus, knowing that, says, hey, you are called not just to love me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, but love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another. Nerdy part here, I'm going to give it to you. You can go back and look. What's crazy about this transition is before John 13, love is a noun. It's Yahweh. He's going around, He's talking about the love of God, the love of the Father. But in John 13, it switches to a verb. Why is that? Because Jesus is going to the cross. And He is showing us the part that we can play in love because He is going in love for us in spite of us. He's calling us at this moment of time. He's saying, hey, to follow me, you don't just consume my love. You distribute it to everyone. You don't just go around and just suck it all in and you keep your light inside yourself and you keep it all to yourself. No. You spread it to the ends of the earth. That's what love is. And so, There are seven Greek words for love. I'm not going to give you them all because I'm going to screw them up, and you grew up in church and you know them, but I am going to share four with you today. Three you're probably really familiar with. The fourth one you may not be, but there are seven Greek words for love, but yet we only have one. How crazy is that? I love you could mean I love you as a I love macaroni and cheese is not the same equation that I have with love, right? Like with God, like it shouldn't be love. So here are the four words. Phileuchia, I'm not going to spell it for you. It's going to be messed up when I do it, but you can look it up on your time, the seven Greek words. Phileuchia literally means self-love, a social climber. It's that person that steps over everybody to climb up the corporate ladder. It's all about them. It's all about self. That is what the first type of love is I want to talk to you about today, phileuchia, self-love. Now, the second one you've heard of, phileos or phileia. We know that's brotherly love, right? Like that's friendly love, like Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Like it's where we get that word, phileia. That's brotherly love, friendship love. Like that's a second type of love. The third we've heard of is eros love. That's a romantic. It's a passionate love. It's something you should have between a husband and a wife, right? But we get the word erotic from that. Right? Eros love. And then the one we've heard the most of probably in church is agape love. That's unconditional, unmerited. That means it doesn't matter what you bring to the table, I still love you in spite of you. Agape, authentic love. That is God's love for us. That is what that is. So those four things, many times we've heard those three, and many times what we do in church is we treat it like phases, don't we? We say, well, you've got to walk through this phase and go to that phase, and then when you get to the ultimate pinnacle phase, that's when it all falls into place. I'm going to lean into something different today and say, what if those aren't phases, but what if those are different ways we're called to love people in a God-appropriate way? What if that's what that really is? What if that is what God has called us to? So the question is, really, when it comes to those three things, or four things, excuse me, who do you love? See, Jesus said, hey, you don't just love me because I first loved you, as we're going to read about here in a minute. You have to love your neighbor as yourself. But I just told you, some people will tell you that this self-love, social climber, this love, this phileuchia love isn't right. So what if I told you today, when it comes to who do you love, if we look at these things really quickly and love others in God-appropriate way, what if the phileuchia self-love was actually this, because you experienced the love of God first? What if you love yourself enough that you are confident in who you are as God's child, who you are in Him, what He has called you to, the purpose He has on your life, knowing that He has made you in this moment for this season to go do His work and His will? What if you trusted that? What if that's the phileuchia love you had? What if the phileos love was all of a sudden you love others because you know who you are in Him? You can love others well. What if you went on to eros love, like, hey, that's between a husband and a wife, that's in the guardrails and the confines of God's definition of marriage. Like, I shouldn't be going around loving wives here with eros. Like, that should be a problem in the church. But what if you could do that with your spouse because of that? What if you do that and you gave yourself to your spouse like Christ gave Him for the church? You lowered yourself, elevated your spouse, and you were in that right thing. And what if this agape love is, you know that everything flows from that, and you can love everyone else in a God-appropriate way because of His unconditional, unmerited favor, His love to love us no matter what we bring to the table in spite of us? What if that's how we treated love today? We didn't treat it like it always was a happy ending. We didn't treat it like, what if we did that? What if we loved people in that way today? And that's what 1 John 4 is going to talk about. So if you got your Bible, flip on back. 1 John 4 is at the end of the New Testament. John, the same one who wrote John 13, is the same guy who is sharing this right now. And if you know anything about me, I love some John. He is actually called the love disciple. And the reason that I love John, I love the Gospel of John, and I'll put my cards on the table, is I'm the disciple, I'm a follower of Jesus, it is the one I'm least like. Now, you may see that, and that's only Jesus in me. I'm more like Peter, I'm hard-headed, like I will go walk on water and start drowning the next second. Like, it just is what it is. I'll tell Jesus, hey, you are Lord. Hey, you ain't going to the cross, dude. And He'll have to rebuke me in the next minute. Like, that's just me, I'm hard-headed, that's who I am, that's just where I am. And so, John is the disciple I wish I was the most like. Like, that's the one, like, I'm like, Jesus, make me more like that. Like, really make me more like you, Jesus. But if I could be like anyone, be like John, because he is the love disciple. So this is what John says in 1 John 4, verse 7 through 12. And it says this. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Now, we can mess that up, can't we? God is philousia love, he's self-love. God is phileia love, he's brotherly love. God is eros, he's erotic love. He's agape, like agape, he is love. Everything flows from that. God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. So I'm going to go back to where I started. Are we wired to love and give love? Yes. Why? Genesis 1, 26 through 31. God says, let us make mankind in what? Our image, in God's image. So if God is love and we are made in his image, therefore we give love and receive love. We are made in his image. The way that we screwed it up is in sin. We'll chase everything that is a fleeting pleasure for love. But in Christ, we know what it looks like eternally in fulfillment, a pleasure, a delight, a joy that we can experience now and forever. What we were made to be as image bearers of God in love. If we get that wrong, we waste this but a breath that is life. And many that have gone before us love themselves enough that they think they can love themselves into salvation, and they miss out on the love that is freely there. All we have to do is receive it. Receive it. That's it. We just receive that because God sent his Son. I mean, this is the gospel. He sent his Son. Realistically, if you want to know the best picture of love on earth, look to the cross. It's Jesus. It's the picture of love. He gave himself fully. He loved us enough, and this is what we're going to talk about when it comes to love. He loved us enough. He came for us. He did what we couldn't do, living a perfect sinless life, making us righteous. He paid the penalty for our sins, hung naked, bloodstained cross is there. He died paying the penalty for us on the cross and loved us enough that he rose again on the third day that we can experience this fulfillment, this love, this pleasure, this delight now and forever. We don't have to wait for heaven to experience it. Why does that matter? He still went to the cross whether we trust him or not. That's love. Real agape love is this. I'm going to love you even if I get nothing from it. That's what Jesus has called us to do, is saying, I'm laying myself down, and even if you don't send me back a conversation heart, by golly, I'm going to shower you with them. That's what love is. That's real love. And do that because at one moment in time, we were where the world was, chasing love of this world, hopeless, helpless, groping in the dark without the light of Christ, trying to figure out how to be satisfied. But we have the cure. We have it, church, and it's Jesus. And so for each and every one of us, that's what we have to do. What does love look like in Christ? It's fighting to celebrate the object of his creation in front of us. And you may tell me, I can't do that. It's hard for me to do that. And I would say this. I would tell you, I'm harder on myself than anyone else. Then I'll say the worst things to me than ever you will, but I promise you this, I love myself. You may think you don't, but I promise you do. You know why? How many still have their New Year's resolution? How many are kept it? Got a few? Okay, they'll be broken this week. I just want to let you know. You know what's going to happen, though? You're going to look in the mirror and forgive yourself for it. That's how you know you love yourself. You're going to make an excuse. Well, the weather changed. Well, this happened. That's love. You love yourself. So why can't we extend that to the person that God puts in front of us that maybe does not love us the way that we love them? See, that's what real love is. I'm going to love you even if you don't give me anything in return. And if we could do that for ourselves, we can extend it to everyone else because Jesus did that for us. Verse 16, John 4, he goes on to say this. capped off a little bit there, so I want to let you know we're not starting fully in the verse. We're actually starting midway through, and it says this, reminding us, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. Remember, Jesus said, the world will know you by how you love. He just told us that in John 13. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love. But perfect love, it drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Telling us how to live it out. Many of us struggle with love because there's risk involved. See, this is what I love. Growing up, those conversation hearts, you took the risk. You didn't worry about it, right? You just took the risk. If it was your crush, you gave it to your crush. You just took the risk. And if they crushed you, the next week you're playing together on the playground, like, you know, whatever that is. Like, you took the risk. But as we get older, for some reason, as adults, we love to be risk averse, don't we? We do everything we can to mitigate risk. We set up investment portfolios that is a safety or not. We moved into stocks and we move away from stocks to bonds or hard currency as we get older to try to hedge risk, to try to hedge ourselves from taking risk. We'll do everything we can. We'll go out in bubbles like to not get sick. We'll do everything we can as we get older to be risk averse. But that's not what Jesus calls us to. He calls us to risk. Because in his love, yes, we may have fear, but there is no fear in him. Because he's defeated the thing we fear the most, death. Death. From the moment we take our first breath, we love life. We fight for life. We will do everything we can to live. Like, that is what we think our existence is. And Jesus is like, hey, death is but a stepping stone. Those of us who are in him know we go from this glory on to eternal glory. It's just a stepping stone from here to eternity. It is what it is. This body's going to fail. We can't fear that. That can only be experienced in his perfect love. And so John is telling us how to live that out. So I've given you some Greek words for love. I'm going to give you the most common one you probably know. If you're in a relationship, married, or you've been there, and it's the five love languages. We all know the five love languages, right? Like that's the first thing in therapy. It's the first thing in couples therapy, couples counseling, premarital. Most of the time, it's a book everyone says to read. We know those. We walk through what is quality time, physical touch, gifts, words of affirmation, and then all of a sudden, last but not least, acts of service, right? Like we go there, we have those five things, and we'll take this test, and find out what our love language is, and we will cling to it. I know my love language. If you know me, it ain't physical touch. Don't touch me. It's just how I roll. COVID's God's gift to the earth. If I hug you, I love you. It means something. I promise you right now. Like, it just is what it is. I'm going to tell you. And if I hug you and it means something, I'm going to hug you whether you're sick, whether you're not sick, no matter what. Like, that is it. Physical touch ain't my thing. It's just not my thing. But at the same time, here's the thing. Many of us will fall in the trap. We'll use that as an excuse not to love someone who is physical touch. See, the whole point of that quiz, the whole point of the five love languages isn't just so you find out how you receive love the best. It's so that those you love, you find out how they receive love the best, and you serve them in that. Maybe my gifting and what I'm called to isn't physical touch, but it is someone else. They love high fives. They love fist bumps. They love those things. Like, I'm going to love you that way. That's what Jesus calls me to do. Maybe mine is acts of service. That's actually my number is acts of service. But somebody else's quality time. Not great at quality time. I know that. Go figure. But and I don't want you to touch me. Don't touch me. Don't spend time with me. Shoot me a text. We'll go serve somewhere. Let's go clean up the side of the road. I'll do that all day long. Like, that is what it is. But if that's yours, I'll fight to love you by spending quality time with you the best I can. Because I'm operating in Christ, not in me. You see, that's what Jesus is saying. Not just that you know your love language, but what's the love language of those that you are in relationship with? And how do you serve them? In other words, I can give you words of affirmation all day long, but if your love language is quality time, you don't feel loved by me, and you're definitely not experiencing the love of Jesus from me because it doesn't feel right. You're doing so good. You're doing so good. Why don't you want to spend time with me? You're doing so great. Like, yes, you are awesome. I'm so awesome. Like, You won't even text me back. Like, what the heck? Like, what's wrong with you? You never reply back to my reply text. Like, you send it, and then I don't hear anything. Like, what is that? Like, if that's your love language. You see, we have these tools. Jesus is showing us how we can love the world. Where's this going? What does that look like in your workplace? What does that look like in your home? What does that look like in your clients? Do you know how to love them that way? And I wish I could tell you I could bat 1,000 at that. I don't. Anytime I get it right, it's because of Jesus. And like Peter, anytime I get it wrong, it's my hard head. It's how it rolls. I start sinking, and I can't walk on water. But I tell you, if I will operate in him, he will give me, with the Holy Spirit, give me the energy, give me the boldness, give me the strength to operate in that other person's love language. So, I'm beating a dead point, but I'm going to be real. Why does that matter? Here at the Vine, you hear us talk about time, talent, treasure. That's really a discipleship strategy. Time, talent, treasure. We have sowers here who give their time, their talent, their treasure. If you're watching this online, you're listening to this throughout the week, there are people who gave of their time, their talent, their treasure. It's really easy to be great at one of those. It's really hard to grow in all three. And I'm thankful here we're committed to growing in all three. We're committed to that. If you're really great at treasure and you have great treasure, maybe time isn't something that you could always give, but when you do, you always make it valuable. Maybe it's not talent. Maybe you don't have talent. You think you don't. You do. All of us have at least one talent or gift from the Lord, but maybe that's it. And you think, well, if I just operate in that, then I serve everyone well. But what if Jesus is calling you to grow and serve in all three? You see, that's why we give here at the Vine. That's why we sow into the global missions. That's why we give to the local church around the world. Like, it's not just something that we say, it's something we live with our time, our talent, our treasure, because that's how we can live in this agape love. We live in these five love languages. We can help others serve others. That's what we get to do. And so for each and every one of us, that's the challenge of love we have. But I'm thankful for where we are, because we're not where we've been, but man, we got a ways to go, and I love it. Because you know what that means? He ain't done with us. And maybe that don't excite you yet, but you're here. You're living. You're breathing. You're listening to this. 2022 ain't over before it's begun. Jesus has a purpose, and we get to walk in it. And if that doesn't excite you, then go home, eat some chocolate strawberries, get on your knees, and ask Jesus to show you how in the world he is going to work in and through you. And he's only going to give you one step. He's not going to give you the 10 before. He's going to give you one, and will you trust him in it and know that your Vine fam, your church, is walking with you in it? What does John say in 19 through 21? We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. Siblings, the holidays are over. You remember those fighting over the toys, you know. I'm just saying, siblings, can't hate your brother or sister. You got to love them. For whoever does not love their brother or sister who they have seen cannot love God who they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and their sister. It's not natural to love someone more than ourselves, is it? It's really not. We think that it is, but it isn't. You can do it for a blip. But would you wake up asking God how you could serve the people he placed in your path that day? I'm guilty of not doing that well. I'll tell you, sometimes I don't. I thank Jesus for everything he's given me, and I'm like, thank Jesus, nobody's going to touch me today. You know, it's not my love language. Praise God. Like, amen. Like, what if we just woke up saying, Jesus, thank you for loving me. Show me how to share your love with others today, including our brother and our sister, which we may not have a great relationship with right now. Maybe our brother and our sister is our neighbor. Maybe our brother and our sister is people at the church down the road, because they're our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why you're not going to hear us put churches down here, because we don't. The local church is the hope of the world. And Jesus is working in and through it. We need each other. We're the body of Christ that get to share his love to the ends of the earth. So maybe you're like me and you mess up on a lot of these things. What do we do with that? Do we just give up? Absolutely not. We lean in. We love harder. We don't give up. Jesus didn't give up. How easy would it have been right when those nails went in his arms to be like, all right, I've had enough. It says the angels were waiting. They were waiting to swoop in right there, but Jesus still said, no, I love them enough. So much so, when he was nailed to that cross, he said, Father, what? Forgive them. Forgive them. He leaned in. He loved harder. When it was easy to give up and all of a sudden his body is in that tomb, how easy would it have been to have Jesus of Nazareth on a stone outside of it, the great prophet, and a tombstone standing there so that everyone for thousands of years would just go visit a rock and say, man, that guy Jesus was a great prophet. He did some really cool things. He went down to hell, he set free, he got the keys to hell, and he said, Satan, you're not in charge anymore. The kingdom of heaven is here, and I'm bringing it to earth so it can be experienced now and eternity. He leaned in. He loved harder. That's what we get to operate from, not for. That's love. And so today, maybe you're getting ready to go into this love season with butterflies because Valentine's is here. And I want to tell you what C.S. Lewis says. He's got a great book. It's called Four Loves. I'm going to paraphrase here, so I'm going to mess it up. But short story long, this is what he says in it. And he talks about some Greek words. He doesn't talk about the four Greek words I have there. Three of the four he does. He talks about storge. That's the other Greek word that he talks about instead of phylousia. But if you ever read C.S. Lewis, Lion, Witch, Wardrobe, you know all those things. That's where you are. So I'm going to share this with you. This is what he says in Four Loves. To love is to be vulnerable. Right? In other words, to love is to take a risk. Husbands, wives, you had to take a risk. You had to take a risk he or she was going to say no, and you had to take a risk that when you went through this, they were going to say no. You had to take a risk, even as much as you want to admit that you knew once you went down the aisle, okay, this is done, they're going to say, there was still a chance they said no. Like, there was still that moment before the pastor said, let no man put asunder what God brought together. There was a moment. Like, there was a moment that no could have happened. Like, to love is to be vulnerable. To love anything means that your heart could be broken, is what Lewis writes. Then he says, the only way to not have your heart broken is to lock it up in a safe behind lock and key. And in the darkness of that coffin or casket, your heart will not be broken, but it will be changed. Because instead of your heart not being broken, it will become irredeemable. It will become unbreakable. As a matter of fact, it will become impenetrable. And if you put your heart behind lock and key, and you put love behind lock and key, and you don't share it, this is what that really looks like. Because this is what it looks like, okay? The only safe place outside of heaven to not be broken by love or free from the challenges and brokenness of love is hell. And if you want to lock your heart in a casket or coffin, you are living in hell because you can't experience love, because you can't give love, and it's not what you were created to be. And my friend, there are many right now in this world that we're in, they're not going to get their heart broken because it's behind lock and key. But at that moment, their heart's irredeemable. That doesn't mean everybody's got to get married. That doesn't mean, it means you love your neighbor as yourself, even if there's nothing in it for you. And that's what Jesus calls us to be. And so we could either continue to live in hell, or we can show the world heaven by how we love. I'm going to end where I started. See, some of us right now, you won't lay your life down to God's call and his purpose because of that risk. You're afraid your heart's going to be broken, because every time you've done it in this world, it's led to nothing but brokenness. And I want to tell you, simply put, this about Jesus. Take him at his word and trust him and see what he does. You've trusted the world. You've done everything you could in this world. You thought that your way was the better way. And Jesus clearly says, love God, love others. There is no other way. There is no other way. So, brings me back to these bad boys. You can't see this on camera right now. I should have left my bag out. Here, we're going to get the props ready. I'm going to pull these out really quick. To where we started with these wonderful little conversation hearts. Y'all know I told you I'm Peter. I'm hard-headed, so hang in here with me. I have to have these kind of things to make it click. This is how Jesus has to talk to me, y'all, okay? See, here's the cool thing about these. These are called what? Conversation hearts. Do you know what it is to love someone? Starts with a simple conversation, doesn't it? Not many words. Sometimes the words are on this little heart, but it starts with a conversation. A conversation. Love starts with a conversation. It's all about a conversation. So what if we went into the world and was willing to have a conversation like we were in our classroom when we were in elementary school? Whether they rejected us or not, we had a bag full of candy. We could care less, right? Like, it is what it is. What if we shared the love of Christ to the ends of the earth? What if we were willing to have the conversation today? Because now more than ever, the world is searching for a real love that can only be found in Jesus. And so since it starts with a conversation, here's what I want to tell you. Those here that are in Christ Jesus, it starts with a conversation. They started with a conversation because they had a conversation with Christ. The conversation was this, literally. It was a prayer. We call prayer that. Prayer is a conversation with God. And you see, what they did is they surrendered their life, lordship of their life, to the person and work of Christ. Why? Well, John 3:16 and 17 reminds us, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 17 says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. In other words, God is not standing there judgmental with crossed arms. He's standing with open arms because he is love. And so, maybe you're right now, you've been searching for love your whole life. You've been trying to find love in this world. And I just want to challenge you to have a conversation today with God. You see, we're about to pray out loud as a family for the benefit of those coming to the faith for the first time. We pray as a church, as a family, and prayer is simply a conversation with God. It's not the words of the prayer that saves you, it's the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. So with every head bow and every eye closed, would you please repeat these words after me, church? Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step, the rest of my life, the best way I know how. With every head bow, every eye closed, if you're in the house, if you're listening online, or if you're watching online throughout the week, at the count of three, I'm going to boldly ask you to respond. If for the first time you've had this conversation with Jesus and you freely received the love that he died, he came, and the salvation, the gift of salvation, the love that he showed us, you freely received that gift of salvation, I want to ask you to raise your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. If that's you, if this first time, if you're watching online, you'll see a hand that's raised. If you're listening throughout the week, I just want to challenge you. If that's you, shoot us a message. Shoot us a comment. You could shoot a text message at 864-580-6698. You can reach us through the app. If that's you today, I just want to say, we want to celebrate that with you and walk with you through that, because the love of Christ is nothing in this world can offer you. And for the rest of us that are in Jesus, I just want us to, as we're about to go into worship, I just want us to be able to lean in and trust the promises of God. Would we trust that he is who he says he is? And if that's the case, and he's called us to love our neighbor as ourselves, then the conversation could literally be a piece of candy. It could literally be a wave, a smile. We would be willing to have the conversation to share his love with the world, because he didn't die just so we could consume it. He died so we could distribute it. So would you stand and sing?
Faithful through the ages, God of Abraham, you're the God of covenant, faithful promises. Time and time again, you have proven you do just what you say. Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I'll remain steadfast and let my heart learn. When you speak a word, it will come to pass. Great is your faithfulness to me. Great is your faithfulness. Sun to the is your faithfulness to me. to the setting same, I will praise your name. Great is your faithfulness to me.
All of that, we can celebrate his promises and his faithfulness. And if we can do that, we can share his love, right? If we're operating from that, because I'm going to tell you, there are times when the storm comes, we think we're going to be overtaken, but with him as our anchor and his promise as our anchor, we're going to get through it. And we get to share that. And so I'm thankful that our church, our Vine fam, isn't afraid of that. So wherever you are this week, love somebody. Love them strong. Love them right where they are, because you never know what they're hiding behind. Because their heart may be locked in a casket and they're settling for being irredeemable and unbreakable. But I will tell you, only in Christ is the brokenness made whole, isn't it? That's what we get to share. Have an awesome week. Join us next week as we talk about joy. It's going to be good times. We got good food. We're breaking New Year's resolution. Come in the house of the Lord. I didn't pray for it to be zero calorie this week, but next week I will. We'll see you next week. The best is yet to come.